But just imagine me out travelling. I get to the border at somewhere like Kazakhstan or something like that. Sorry. And there's a border guard. I'd like you to imagine some great yob, Ian Clarkson in a big overcoat with a Kalashnikov and a furry hat. And he says, "No, you cannot come in." And I will say, "Just a minute, Igor, or whatever your name is. Let me read to you from the front of my passport. This is what it says. Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and demands, in the name of Her Majesty, all those whom it may concern, and this concerns you, Igor, to allow the bearer, that's me, to pass freely and without let or hindrance." Now that's English, Igor, let or hindrance. That means messing about, all right? So without messing about, and to afford to the bearer, that's me, such protection and assistance as may be necessary. Now, how about that? Just imagine you're out on your travels. I bet you wish that you had that sort of protection with you when you go out and you try and cross other borders.
I've just been looking at my passport, and it actually says in the beginning of mine, after Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests, exactly the same as yours. Well, and I think it probably says that in everybody's passport. I don't think that's just for you.
Oh, right. Oh, well.
So we're all special. We're all special. And with that thought in mind, I'd like us to turn our thoughts to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that great passage that Dave read for us. And we're going to do tonight a real old-fashioned Bible study. We're going to work through those 7 verses because they've got some life-changing and exciting things to say in them for people like us, for a church like this. Can I first of all ask you a question? A short question, but one that you might like to take away with you if you don't want to answer it this moment. 3 words. What drives you? What drives you? What are the things that are important to you that influence the way you think and you act? What's it going to be for you that's your big driver? Family and children and what's best for them? Career and finances? Politics? Sport? Health, environmental concerns. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians, he was in no doubt about what drove him. This is our first little snippet of verse 14. Paul says this: Christ's love controls us. Christ's love controlled Paul, that little man limping around the Middle East, establishing churches, but constantly being beaten up and arrested, all because he was driven and controlled by one thing, by the love of Christ and his desire to share it. So what drives you? What drives you? Let's move on. Let's move on to our next verse, and I'll read it to us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we've all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. You know, there's a huge challenge here. This is the deal when we become a Christian. When we become a Christian, our life ends. We hand it in like a dead old car with a view to getting a new one in return. That's what we signify in baptism. We talk about it, don't we? We've died to our old life. We've raised ourselves to a new one. And our old lives are gone. The ones that are driven by our own wishes and desires. Now our lives, our new lives, are controlled by this love of Christ. And you know, we sometimes think and we sometimes say to each other, well, we're just ordinary people. We're just ordinary people living ordinary lives who happen to be Christians. That's not what this passage is telling us. This passage says that if you are a child of God, you can't live an ordinary life because you've got a brand new, different life. Your life is hidden with Christ in God and it will never be the same. So we never just live our ordinary lives for ourselves. Everything has changed. Ever had a conversation with a caterpillar? I don't think it would be terribly exciting because they have a small vocabulary. But if you were to say to a caterpillar, what are you doing today? He would probably say, eating a leaf. And if you pushed on and said, well, all right, how did the weekend go? What do you do at the weekend? I ate leaves. And if you think about tomorrow, what are you going to be doing tomorrow, Mr. Caterpillar? I'll be eating more leaves. Because a caterpillar's one desire and one drive is to satisfy his needs by eating and eating and eating and growing fatter and fatter and fatter. That's the job of a caterpillar. And before we meet Jesus, that's the way so many of us live. Our days are just the same, the same, the same, satisfying our needs and doing what we want for ourselves. And yet in a caterpillar's, there's that amazing day when it sheds its last skin and inside is a glistening chrysalis. And after a few weeks or months, that chrysalis splits because something has happened inside it that has totally changed it. And what emerges, as we all know, is a fabulous butterfly. A thing with a different quality of life altogether. A butterfly that can take sips of nectar. It can fly about in the sunshine. But above all, a butterfly has a purpose in its life. Its purpose is to reproduce. You see, a caterpillar can't reproduce. But a butterfly can lay eggs and reproduce. Let's move on. Paul says once we have this new life, something changes in the way that we think. We've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. And this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. And Paul says this new life will change the way we think about people. He says, whoa, it certainly changed the way I thought about Jesus. Paul's view of Jesus was totally wrong. He underestimated Jesus in every way. He must have thought he was a nobody from a small town, somebody who owned nothing but the clothes he grew up in, someone with no lengthy Pharisaic education, just a humble guy, not a leader to follow, someone ready to let himself be killed. And Paul says, oh, I got that so, so wrong. So wrong. And Paul has seen in his own life the strength and the awesome power behind that gentle exterior of Jesus. And you know, the same sort of thing needs to happen to us. Our new life will change the way that we evaluate people. You see, we no longer do it by human standards. Here we are in the middle of an election. Everybody's on stage debating, interviewing, making offers, all sorts of things. And what they want us to do is to look at them and say, I like them. How do we evaluate people? By what they look like, by what they have, by how they speak, by what they promise, how useful they may be to us, how influential or powerful they may seem to be. Are they rich or famous, clever or attractive? And in our new life with Jesus, none of that matters. That's history. That's an earthly way of thinking about people. Because we're going to ask, with God's help, completely different questions. We're going to say, has this person received the new life from God that makes them a new creation? How can I bless them? How can I help them? How can I share good news with them? And if they are our brothers and sisters in church, we want to know, are they part of the church? Are they living for Christ? Are they driven by this desire to to share the good news of Jesus with them. You see, it's a new way of thinking that comes with a brand new life. And it's life with a new purpose. Let's move on to verse 18. And all of this new created life is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God's given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Brilliant news, but look at this. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. You see, when God brought us back through Jesus, he reconciled us to himself. He brought us back into fellowship with a holy God. Amazing. But then he said, now I've done that for you. Go out and do it for others. He gave us the message of reconciliation to share. So tonight, whatever is your occupation, whatever is your job, whatever is your career, your ultimate new life Christian calling is to be an ambassador for God. God appointed us his ambassadors, and that's where we get our title from this evening. Your Excellency, every one of us. And we're going to spend the rest of our time this evening thinking about what it means to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Here's the next verse, verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I wonder if we've realized what a hugely important role God gives us if we are a born-again child of God. And you know, this role has got nothing to do with success or wealth or possessions or status or any earthly things. It's not even got a lot to do with IQ or organizational skills or lack of them or speaking ability. It's all about what God puts inside each one of us. And whatever he's put there so that he can use. An ambassador. Paul uses the Greek word, presbyu. Presbyu. To be an ambassador, to act as somebody's representative. And there's three things about an ambassador. The first is this, that they are chosen by the monarch. It's not a government appointment, actually, in the UK. Our ambassadors are chosen by the Queen. You are the ambassador of Her Majesty to a place where you're sent. And we take the title, Your Excellency. Do you feel like that sometimes? Or do you feel, oh, crikey. But that is us. We're God's ambassadors. And after we've been chosen, we are sent. The massive characteristic of an ambassador is that they are sent to a foreign land. They're sent to somewhere that's not their normal home to carry the news, to carry the message, to carry the views of the king who sent them. They're sent with what we call plenipotentiary powers. How's that for a long word? If you remember your Latin, pleni means full. Potens means power. Plenipotentiary, with full power to represent the king who sent us. And we've been sent to the foreign land of England. This is not our normal home. Our home is heaven. Our home is the kingdom of heaven, where we live with God, but we're sent to this foreign place. In fact, we're even sent to the weird county of Lancashire. You go across the other side of the motorway and you can't even understand what they say, but this is where we're sent. And we need to be clear about where we're sent, because that is our mission field. And an ambassador goes where he's sent. You probably don't remember the name or recognize it at all, but Sir Richard Stagg is currently the Queen's ambassador to Afghanistan. He's based in the British Embassy in Kabul, but in recent years, he's had 2 years in Bulgaria. He then had Foreign Office postings around Europe. He spent 4 years in India and then was sent to Kabul as Her Majesty's ambassador in Afghanistan. That guy dragging his wife and 5 children around the world with him because an ambassador goes where the Queen sends him. But this is the place where we're sent to work as God's ambassadors. The Queen doesn't send ambassadors on holiday. It's not meant to be a place where we just relax and accumulate wealth and possessions, or bring up our children and look for happy memories. It's not just about that. It's about doing the work that we've been sent to do by the King of Kings. And an ambassador's chosen, an ambassador is sent, an ambassador speaks on behalf of the King. And this verse tells us that God wants us to speak on his behalf. Not just to speak, actually, but to plead on God's behalf. Isn't that an amazing thing that God would plead, "Come back to me"? Those are the very words of the commission that we're given as God's ambassadors. God pleads, "Come back to me. I want to forgive you. I do love you. I want you to be reconciled to me." And as a newborn child of God with this new life, our overriding responsibility is to be God's ambassadors. Above everything else we do in our lives, to take that message that God pleads, "Come back to me." I wonder where you've been sent. I sometimes think it can be quite specific where we get sent. Her Excellency Hazel Sewell, ambassador of the Supreme God to hurting people in Preston. His Excellency Pat Keating, ambassador of the Supreme God to people in need at Preston Royal Infirmary. How about ambassador of the Supreme God to your mixed up family? Or to the young people at Fulwood Free Methodist Church? Wherever he sends us, you will have a calling from God as his ambassador. And is it easy? No, it's not always easy. It can be challenging and it can be difficult and it can be embarrassing. Sometimes people don't want to hear that simple message that God is saying, "Come back to me. Come back to me." But you know, when times are tough, we need to remind ourselves where we work from. Do you know where the ambassador works from? Bit of a trick question, this. Where does an ambassador work from? And it isn't an embassy, funnily enough. The embassy is the ambassador and his staff. It's the group of people who are sent out to a foreign land as the mission of the UK to Afghanistan. That's the embassy. The embassy and the ambassador work out of the chancery. There is a UK chancery in Kabul, UK chancery in Paris, but we always call it the embassy. But there is something special about an embassy. Under international law, the embassy is protected. It has diplomatic immunity. And that means that nobody can enter a foreign embassy without the consent of the ambassador and his staff. That's why our friend Julian Assange is holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy, because nobody is allowed to go in and get him out. We haven't had the consent of the Ecuadorian government. And isn't it a wonderful thought that as we answer God's call to be his ambassadors, wherever he sends us, he puts up that wall of protection around us so that we can operate in that foreign land and nothing and nobody can touch us. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, "For I know that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of Christ." So God's word, these 7 verses we've looked at this evening, they just affirm our status as ambassadors of the living God. And you know, the problem is that we spend so much time running ourselves down and telling ourselves how weak we are and how useless we are and how sinful we are, when God actually says, Your Excellency, go and speak for me, because I'm sending to you a place of challenge, but I'm sending you to a place of my protection with my message to a needy world. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be shy about that. Nothing can harm you because I am with you and you can do it. I've put within you, in this brand new life you've been given, the ability to make a difference to other people for all eternity. And you do that by taking a simple message. The message is this: My God says, will you come back to me? My God says to this broken community of ours, to this messed up country of ours, to some of our messed up families, he says, come back to me. I long to be reconciled to you. And God has chosen us for that. That's our calling, our status as Christ's ambassadors. And yet there's one more verse. Paul can't resist going back and taking the Corinthians full circle. And he just reminds them of this. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You know, those are the most important 24 words that anyone could ever speak. That's the message that the King of Kings wants his ambassadors, wants you and me to take to the world. Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Well, thanks for the stillness of this evening when we can gather around the Word of God. And we thank you for the brilliant and exciting things that it tells us about our new life in Christ. And Lord, for those of us who don't know that new life in Christ, we pray that tonight we will be able to reach out to you for your forgiveness, to reach out to this reconciling God who says, I love you. Be reconciled to me. Come back to me. And Lord, help us all to know that brand new life that is so different from anything we've known before. The new life that you give us when you reconcile us to you. And we pray that we will take up that calling to be your ambassadors, to go in your strength, to go with your protection, to speak the word of life. Come back to me. Lord, help us believe we can do it because you've told us and promised us that we can. Lord, bless this church and bless our individual ministries in the places you send us. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.